You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
With the 21st pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
It's time for the Packers War Room Podcast.
Made me a believer into really thinking that the Packers really could run the table, and that was when I said right away, they're winning the NFC North.
The bomb to Jerry Nelson was just a moment that I'll never forget. For him to be able to get behind the corner and really just catch the prayer, essentially, was just quintessential Packers 2016.
Like I said, for this team to win two playoff games was just astounding with how beat up they were and the state of their defense, really.
And now, alongside Jacob Westendorf and Cody Bauer, here's your host of the Packers War Room Podcast, Ross Uglum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final Packers War Room offseason podcast before we have the NFL draft starting this Thursday night. This is going to be the first unscripted edition of the Packers War Room podcast because we are actually diving into the War Room. We are going to do a five-round mock. That'll be six selections. We've been talking about those six picks all year, and we're gonna get to it. So joining me, as always, is Jacob Westendorf from FanRag. Jacob, how are you doing?
Doing well. I feel like a little kid on Christmas. We're just a couple days away. You know, tomorrow is kind of the equivalent of Christmas Eve for me, and excited to finally stop talking about who the Packers could pick and get ready to start talking about who they did pick and hopefully, you know, adding some guys to the roster to get them over the hump and into another Super Bowl.
And joining Jacob and I is Cody Bauer, key draft contributor to Cheesehead TV. Cody, how you doing?
Doing great. Man, what an exciting time of the year. I'm just thrilled that it's almost upon us. This work week is always the longest for me. I just can't wait. And even this week, I just find myself reading even much, much more and can't even take in as much, you know, want to absorb as much as I can. The rumors get to me. I love this time of year. I'm excited to record this podcast with you guys and see who we can come up with in a five-round mock draft for us.
And I just want to alert you, the listeners, that we may have a few technical difficulties here. We're using a screen sharing thing that we haven't ever used before, but we're going to try and make this thing go off without a hitch. Just to give you guys some parameters, this is how we're going to do it. We are using FanSpeak. We have actually had Steve Schaup, the innovator of FanSpeak, on a show on this network. I believe he was on with us on From the Benches. You can go back and look through the archives. Just look for keyword FanSpeak, and you can listen to that interview. But it's a mock draft app. It's online, and you can do mock drafts according to a bunch of big boards. The one that we've chosen is probably the most prominent one, and that is Bleacher Report's Matt Miller. That's at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, one of the more highly respected guys in the business, and we're going to use team needs that have been selected by us, the mock drafters. In this scenario, because I am the host, and this is my computer and my gas station, if you will, I am Ted Thompson. Cody will be playing the role of Brian Gutekunst, and Jacob will be your Elliot Wolf. So ultimately, I'm going to take Cody and Jacob's suggestions into consideration. We are going to attempt to come to a consensus. If we cannot come to a consensus, we're going to draft who I want to draft, because as I've mentioned, I am Ted Thompson. So let's get this.
Ted, thanks for the extension this offseason.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Came in nice.
Just wanted to be clear, though, I am the GM when you decide to retire, right?
Yeah, that's how it's going to go, I do believe.
That's fine. I'm branching off and going to revamp a AFC West team or something.
That sure seems like the thing to do. And if it seems like we are filling time, that's because that's exactly what we're doing. We're having those potential aforementioned technical difficulties here.
Oh boy.
And we are back. We've got the simulation started here. Marlon Humphrey just went to the Seahawks. Kevin King just went to the Chiefs. And right in front of Green Bay goes my guy, Takarist McKinley of the Dallas Cowboys. So this is what we got on the board, boys. We've got Gerrion Conley, huge red flag that just came up. We had this discussion sort of in the pre-draft meeting. We all just feel like this is a risk that cannot be taken, right, in the first round here?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who he's not going to speak with anyone involving law enforcement until Monday. It's an unfortunate situation. Obviously, you hope that nothing bad has happened, but this is a risk that is just too much to take. I mean, if unfortunately something did happen, this is a first-round pick that if we were to select him, we've done some homework, but there's just too much information that we don't know yet, that this is a guy who could never play a down for us because he could spend a lot of time outside of the NFL, if you will. So this is too much of a risk here in the first round.
Man, all right, let me jump in here with Conley. I'm going to sound like the biggest dick and inconsiderate guy out there, but you'd like to think that, you know, the guys, when he interviewed, they got a good feel for him to see if this was even, you know, put himself in that kind of situation. It sounds as if it definitely was the woman in the hotel room. Now, you know, is this a woman? You know, we can't put ourselves there. I won't begin to go there. But if the agent and Conley are able to get out ahead of this and ensure teams that nothing like this happened and the team's willing to take a risk, I wouldn't, you know, draft picks are all risky, whether it's a bust factor or, you know, an off-the-field incident. So, you know, eventually the talent meets, you know, the worth, the risk, if you know, when with this guy's off the field concerns. So it's just, like you said, Jake, unfortunate so late in the in the process. But I don't think the Packers would pull the trigger, so that doesn't change anything as far as concerning Gerrion Conley and being the Packers' 29 pick. Cody or
Brian.
Brian. You know, I might consider taking that risk, but well, Ted, you can speak to that better, you know. I my vote is yes. Elliot, your vote would be no, I heard. And so, Ted, I guess it's up to you if you want to do that, pull the trigger on him.
Well, here's what I'll say. According to the Packers Top 200, which you can find on PackersTalk.com, we actually have Tre'Davious White, who is available above Gerrion Conley. I have him as 9th overall and Conley as 10th overall, CB2 and CB3 respectively. Fabian Moreau is also available if that's something you guys might be interested in. Other than that, the highest guys left on our board are Corey Davis, wide receiver, Western Michigan, TJ Watt, Edge Wisconsin, and I believe that's about all we're seriously considering at this time.
Well,
so,
a couple things I'd love to do, Ted, and I hope our phone would be ringing off the hook right now. If you go back to the quarterback list right now, you see you want to click on quarterbacks for players available. That'd be awesome. But I'm seeing Pat Mahomes and DeShone Kizer, you know, already. And then, you know, there's Davis Webb being floated out there. At pick 29, there's hopefully going to be some teams right at the top of the second that want to get a jump start and get their guy on Thursday to get that fifth-year option. I hope our phone would be ringing with a bunch of guys that we would still deem acceptable picks around here, but, you know, would ideally like a trade-back scenario.
Unfortunately, Brian, we did not pay the $5.99 to be able to make trades. So we're going to have to go ahead and pick.
I'm just giving the listeners an option, you know, just, yeah. Hey, there's a lot of guys out there that still fit us. I mean, hell, for me, all right, Brian vote, right? I love Corey Davis, man. I love TJ Watt. He's a guy I'd go up and get if I had to. TJ Watt would probably be my pick, but I want to make the case here for Corey Davis. So instead of TJ Watt, I'm going to go Corey Davis. I think he's bona fide number one wide receiver in this draft. I think he has the long-term potential to, you know, replace Jordy when he goes away, and Devontae's a free agent. Cobb could be a cap casualty. I mean, eventually what is a strength will become a weakness if we don't, you know, keep stocking the shelf, as they say. So Corey Davis is who I'm going to stand up for at this pick. I think we can get an edge in the quarterback, in rounds 2 and 3 or even at 4 and have him contribute. But I think you don't pass up on a guy who can be a legit number one. So I'm gonna go Corey Davis.
All right, Elliot, I'm going to leave it up to you. As my board lays, Tre'Davious White's number 9. I'm going to go, and Corey Davis is 15, T.J. Watt's 17. So right now we're out on T.J. Watt. It's not going to be popular with the good folks at Wisconsin, but we are between Tre'Davious White and Corey Davis. You make the selection.
Whew, okay. Well, I was going to bang the table for T.J. Watt, but since, Ted, you're the guy, you are – in charge here, so it's Tre'Davious White and Corey Davis, just to be clear.
Yep, those are our two options. That's our
okay.
9th overall guy on our board against our 15th overall guy on our board.
Okay, well, here's what I'll say is I know that Brian just made up some points there about how Jordy's getting a little bit older, Devontae's a free agent coming up, but I mean, Ted, I know we've talked about how Devontae's a priority. I know Aaron wants Devontae around. They've talked about how much they like him. Mike's talked about how much they like him. We stood by him after a really rough season in 2015. He had a really good season last year. We like him quite a bit. I have a hard time imagining that we're not going to at least try to extend him. Jordy Nelson, he's got the type of game that with the way that Mike's going to use him in the offense, his career will extend at least a little bit. And not only that, we have the best quarterback in the NFL, and he at least makes receivers a little bit better than their talent indicates. That is why we've been willing to let guys like Greg Jennings and James Jones walk in the past. I love Corey Davis. I think he's a great player. But here's the other reality is we didn't not get to the Super Bowl last year because we couldn't score touchdowns. We didn't get to the Super Bowl because we couldn't stop teams from scoring touchdowns. We signed Devon House. We brought him back. That's great. He's a nice stopgap. I don't know if we're looking to bring him back beyond that time. Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins are top 60 picks. But we got to have a little bit of cushion in case one of those guys doesn't pan out. Ladarius Gunter, we like him as well. But I think we learned last year that you can never have too many cornerbacks. Tre'Davious White is higher on our board, and he's at a position I think that is a much more dire need. Ted, you can make the call. But Tre'Davious White is definitely the guy that I would pick here.
All right, so for the 29th pick, the Green Bay Packers have selected Tre'Davious White from LSU. He's a player that can play inside, cover slot receivers, and play outside in the base. Right now, we're going to team him.
Ted, he can also return punts for us now that Mike Hyde is gone too.
Absolutely. Keep the punt returns away from Randall Cobb, though. It seems like Randall's made it a point that he would like to continue to do that, but we're going to go ahead and take Tre'Davious White here at 29. T.J. Watt went next to the Steelers, followed by
Elliot, I just wanted to say, I went to bat for Corey Davis back there. I think I would have probably sided with Elliot and gone T.J. He was higher on my personal board, but we went with your board, and I wanted to make the case for Davis, so I'm glad I did. I just wanted to let fans out there know that T.J. Watt would have probably gotten a good table pound in here from Brian.
Corey Davis goes with the 5th pick of the 2nd round of the L.A. Rams.
Joe Mixon off the board at the 14th pick to the Indianapolis Colts, so there's a guy we were considering.
All right. The last 3 picks have been offensive lineman Deion Dawkins, a guy that could have potentially filled in a guard for us. Defensive lineman Larry Ogunjobi, the kid from Charlotte, went to the Kansas City Chiefs, and then one of our personal favorites, Marcus Williams, safety Utah, has gone now to the Dallas Cowboys, bringing up the Green Bay Packers. It's a 61st overall pick. I believe the highest player available on our board would be Edge Tim Williams. followed by offensive weapon, we'll call him, Evan Engram, who I am a little bit in love with. Followed by Zay Jones, followed by Cooper Kupp. Also available would be Cordray Tankersley, but not a guy that we're crazy high on. Derek Rivers also in the conversation, but if we're going edge, technically my board has Tim Williams higher. Guys, where do you want to go with those five or six guys sort of being in the conversation here?
Well, I'll start. I mean, we took Tre'Davious White first. Again, I mean, we're not getting to the Super Bowl because we can't score points. We're not getting to the Super Bowl because we can't people off the scoreboard. Had a different player, you know, had another receiver that we've been a little bit higher on falling here. I know we considered Corey Davis in the first round. Would have been fine with that. But it doesn't seem like – I mean, Evan Engram, that's a nice idea there. But we just signed Martellus Bennett. We have Lance Kendricks in the mix here. We like him quite a bit. Richard Rodgers is a player that we still find useful. And then, you know, kind of moving him around as a big wide receiver. That's something we've never done before. That could be interesting. But I don't know if this is something we really want to toy with. Again, Clay Matthews is – we still think he's a really good player, as evidenced by things we've said. Nick Perry, obviously we like him a lot. We kept him around. Outside of that, our edge rushing group is not very high. It's not very deep. Jay Elliott was brought back. That was a one-year deal. And we don't have a whole lot of depth with our second group there. Tim Williams, you got a lot of questions you got to ask him. You know, I want to know, are you committed to staying out of the or staying in the NFL drug program? Because I believe he's going to be required to be in that. Are you committed to staying clean and staying on the field? But when he is clean and on the field, he's a talented pass rusher. And we as a whole need to stop making mediocre quarterbacks look like Tom Brady. So I'm going with the pass rusher. I want Tim Williams.
Brian?
Let's see here. What were your top-ranked edge players kind of on your board, Ted?
So what we've got here as far as edge available.
I know available. What's on your board, Ted? I'm looking right now at Derek Rivers, Jordan Willis. I'm like Carl Lawson. I'm trying to look at what on your top 200 board, Ted, that you have. Tim Williams is going to be highest-ranked. Who else is up there?
28th overall, Tim Williams, edge, Alabama. 42nd overall, Carl Lawson, edge, Auburn. 47th overall, five spots down from that, DeMarcus Walker, edge, Florida State. Charles Harris is unavailable.
Where do you have Willis and Rivers? Are they anywhere up there for you, Ted?
Jordan Willis is 84th.
Okay. Man, I all right, so I just have a hard time thinking, Ted, that you're going to approve of Tim Williams. It seems that he's very honest. I just read an interview that he doesn't lie to teams. He doesn't lie to people. He's been outspoken about his past, but, you know, being outspoken about it is not any different than really if you're being committed or not to changing. And I think Carl Lawson's neck injury is going to scare off Doc Pat McKenzie away, so... I'm sure like Derek Rivers and Jordan Willis spot. Evan Engram, like we can't make that justification. Can you go back to all the players available? Yeah, I'd have to go edge. We'll go with their highest ranked edge, Tim Williams. That'd be who my vote would go to. I did want to point out that one of the top guards, Dan Feeney, is still available. Fabian Moreau, one of the corners that we are pretty high on, is available. Just to keep that in mind as far as, you know, thinking about how far some of these guys might drop. So there are a few corners available, and we do have a good handful of edges still left. For this pick, as Brian, I will vote for Tim Williams, Alabama.
That's a great point. You know, we're looking right now. at a guy that is 28th on our board, selecting him over a cornerback that we have 11th overall in Fabian Moreau. The Packers double-dipped at corner, but I'm making the call that Coach Witt is going to be able to get something out of either Randall or Rollins, and if that's the case, burning two top 65 picks on corners 2 years after I just did that, it's unforgivable. So we are going to select Tim Williams just so barely over Carl Lawson out of Alabama, and that's two SEC kids in the top 61 for the Green Bay Packers. Immediately taken after our selection was Engram, Lawson, and Jones, and that's three of the guys that we had highest on our board.
I mean, looking at, you know, White and Williams, like you said, SEC, those are some big-time schools, some big-time athletes playing against big-time competition. They'd be welcome to have down up in Green Bay. I mean, White is just, you know, very good at everything, and Williams, I don't know why he didn't test near as good as he plays, but I mean, he flashes Von Miller type ability to get around the edge. He is immediately a pass rush threat, even if he plays just a handful or two of snaps a game. I mean, when you're trying to put a game away and you got to get after the quarterback, you want him on the field. He's a playmaker.
So hearts are broken at 1265 Lambeau, or excuse me, 1265 Lombardi, because Fabian Moreau just went with the 28th pick in the third round to the Dallas Cowboys.
They really do exist just to make us angry.
Oh, absolutely. That was, without question, going to be the selection. We talked about not wanting to double dip. I would have blown out a quad running up to the podium for that one. Speaking of running up to the podium, though, boys.
Holy moly, huh?
It sure seems like with the ability to select Dan Feeney, our 39th overall player, still a possibility. It's going to be very difficult to talk me into anything else unless you're really going to pound the table for Bucky Hodges or Chris Godwin. I just think that's going to be a difficult conversation. Godwin, we have as our 55th overall player. Bucky Hodges, we have 60th. But we still are higher on Dan Feeney, and he is probably a day one starter inside our top 40 overall, with the ability to get him here in round three because of guards maybe not necessarily being the most important things to other teams. Reuniting him with Jason Spriggs. Somebody talk me out of Dan Feeney.
Can't thought about it when I saw Chris Godwin was still available, but
yeah. All right, I mean, I want to make the case for Godwin for sure. I mean, he has the potential to be a number one wideout, you know, down the road, and to get that someone like that in the third round, it would be remarkable. I think Gerald Everett deserves a case to be made. Kind of a small school guy from South Alabama. I think good environment for him to come into with two pros. Kendricks and Bennett in front of them, both on shorter term deals. I think that would, you know, really help him in his development. And Bucky Hodges, well, me and you, you know, gushed a little bit about him on the tight end show. Same kind of thing. He's got a lot to learn, and, you know, he'd be kind of a red zone weapon. I don't know what more you get out of him. He's kind of got a bust potential. But Dede Hall from Texas A&M, another edge rusher, Terrell Basham from Ohio, another edge rusher double dipping at that position is also enticing. But hell, you're going to get a starting guard, you know, a starting player, third round, step in and play, boom, cut down Barkley tomorrow kind of move in the third. I think you just pull the trigger and do that. You know, he's been an absolute rock on the Indiana's offensive line. I think the value is just too good. You got to snag him here.
So that's what we're going to do with the 29th pick in the third round. The Green Bay Packers are going to select Dan Feeney and plug him right in there at right guard. So right now we've got Tre'Davious White of the Big Ten, Tim Williams, edge rusher of the, or excuse me, Tre'Davious White of the SEC, Tim Williams of the SEC, and Dan Feeney of the Big Ten were shying away a little bit from Ted's normal tendencies. No small school guys yet, but really three strong selections and three guys that I think are going to make an immediate impact on the 2017 Packers. We're feeling good.
What we did, you know, just again, just to look back at it quick, these guys are all established guys. You know, Williams has always been a rotational pass rusher, but he's been, you know, highly successful for 2 years doing that. Tre'Davious White for 3-4 years at LSU, one of the most consistent corners in the SEC. And Dan Feeney, again, he's been all-team Big Ten for the last 3 years, I think. I mean, the guys, you know, we're getting guys that can come in and contribute immediately, which is, you know, I think probably a lot of what A-Rod almost meant when he's, you know, time to reload as opposed to rebuild. There's other ways to do it. You don't have to get the projects right away in the draft. There are guys that can come in and help out, you know, sooner rather than later.
So we have linebacker Kendall Beckwith just went to the Broncos, Trey Hendrickson to the Lions. Jalen Reeves may have been a guy that I've been hot on late, went to the Oakland Raiders. A couple of defensive linemen, Josh Malone of Tennessee to Kansas City, and defensive lineman Tanzel Smart to the Dallas Cowboys. If you guys will hold briefly, I can talk about who are the highest guys still available on our board. And we're back. So the highest guys left on our board are 53rd overall, Corn Elder, the defensive back out of Miami. In my opinion, the finest tackler of all the corners. You can play him in nick, you can play him outside. Also available to us at this time is Devontae Fields out on the edge. Also, Brian Hill, running back out of Wyoming, or Wayne Gallman, running back out of Clemson. Those are the positions we could address at this time. Those are the four players that are highest on our board. Elliot, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot there. I'm going to stick to the theme that I've had, though. I mean, I like Ty. I like Christine Michael enough. We've kept him around. Don Jackson has done some okay things. And the reality is I just watched – Patriots win the Super Bowl with scrap heap Deion Lewis, I believe fifth round pick James White, scrap heap LeGarrette Blount. I just don't see the need for spending a top 150 pick on a running back, although I do like Brian Hill, and I do like Wayne Gallman. I think both of those guys would be good fits. Again, I don't mind pushing guys in this organization. And I do think at times something we do to a fault is we like our own guys a little too much sometimes. And that occasionally sets them up in positions to fail. And Ladarius Gunter is somebody who is an example last year. Gunter is a fine fourth corner, I think. And I think we've talked about that, switching back years, but we've talked about that on the show before. Ladarius Gunter is someone who should never be put in a position to have to guard Odell Beckham and Dez Bryant and Julio Jones in back-to-back-to-back playoff games. We got Tre'Davious White. We brought in Devon House. I mentioned him. We have Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins. We still got Gunter, obviously. We like Josh Hawkins as an undrafted free agent. We just had to release Mackinson Dorlant. I'm going with Corn Elder. Ross, you mentioned, or Ted, you mentioned that he's a really good tackler. He can play on the edge. He can play inside. And that's something that we don't have to straight up replace Micah Hyde. But his tackling ability is something I think that may show up eventually. Something that we miss. If you bring in a guy like Elder, he has good size, good ability to play both spots. That's the guy I'm going for, is Corn Elder.
One guy I also want to mention that's high on our board, and probably higher on our board than most, is George Kittle from Iowa. The best run blocking tight end in this group and really tested out well. Somebody that we're very, very interested in here in Green Bay. Brian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, George Kittle is definitely a name. I liked that you mentioned Brian Hill. Jacob, I think you did, or excuse me, Elliot, you did a great job selling Corn Elder. And I really like Corn Elder's game. You guys both mentioned his tackling, but he's got some really good ball skills, too. He's just a bit shorter than the Packers typically draft. So he may now may just kind of been ruled out regardless of how good he is, just on size alone. There's a lot of good wide receivers that actually entice me, Chad Hansen being one of them. Ted, I know he's not high on your board, but I think he kind of fits a lot of what we look for. Jordan Leggett at tight end, he's kind of been one of my favorites out of Clemson for a while. He tested higher than above average. He just kind of is overlooked in this whole tight end class for one reason or another. He didn't test as good as Kittle, but definitely was far more productive as a receiver. I guess, my vote would have to be, I'll go Corn Elder. I'm not sure that, Ted, you're going to, agree with us or what, but because he doesn't meet your size kind of thresholds, your average typical guy, but, double dipping that corner is not a bad option after, losing Micah Hyde and Sam Shields and only bringing in House. And let's be honest, all of our guys need competition. So I wouldn't mind double dipping that corner right now with a Corn Elder.
For the first time this draft, Ted Thompson's putting his foot down. We've selected Tre'Davious White, who's a little bit shorter than we would have liked. We're not going to spend our fourth round pick, despite where he is on our board, on another guy that's a little bit shorter than we would like. So we're going to slide down the board just a little bit, and we've got a grouping of four running backs. Alvin Kamara, Deontay Foreman, Kareem Hunt, and Brian Hill. And for us, that's a tier. And so we're going to take the last back in that tier, and we're going to select Brian Hill out of Wyoming.
Ted's going to Ted. It's a very Ted pick.
There's a small school guy. We do it every year.
There you got your. There went your guy Hansen. They're moving on to the fifth round. There are two selections at the end of this round.
There goes Leggett. I see one of my favorite wide receivers, Kenny Golladay, just left. Boy, Ted. It's not going to look great when Wayne Gallman makes it down to us. Oh, he's gone. Ooh. Phew.
So Gallman went 26 to the Chiefs. Wyoming center, Brian Hill's teammate, Chase Roullier, just went to the Buffalo Bills. We've got the 28th pick. And now we're in a situation where we're talking about the best player available. And by far the highest guy on our board left right now, and one of my personal favorite dudes in this draft, is Mac Hollins, wide receiver out of North Carolina. 6'4", runs his 40 in the 4'4 to 4'5 range, so not certainly John Ross speed, but always seems to be blowing by the cornerbacks that are trying to cover him. Also really high on our list that's currently available would be undersized edge rusher Ewan Price and Deatrick Wise out of Arkansas. Not really looking to fill a need this late in the draft. What do you guys think?
I'm taking a look here at some of these guys. Mac Collins is definitely interesting. He just can't stay on the field. I haven't watched near enough Dylan Cole, but his athletic numbers suggest that he needs a deep watch, and wouldn't be surprising if he made his way into day three, like a fifth round pick like this. Would you mind letting me know which safeties are left? Boy, and you see someone like Monte Nicholson and Eddie Jackson still available. Nathan Geary is somebody that I actually like as a late-round guy. And is there any wide receivers out there still that are worth looking at?
Hollins would be the top one on our board.
Hollins is the top. Okay. I kind of am more prone to guys like a Fred Ross, a Stacy Coley, or Robert Davis, but I understand. Is there any tight ends that could be worth our interest out on the board? Boy, Cole Hikutini's hanging out there. He didn't test great, but he sure has good tape. Daryl Daniels is exactly kind of the athlete we look for. I'm not sure I want to spend a fifth on him. Let's take a look at the defensive line depth and see if there's anybody out there who could be enticing to add to the rotation. But Ryan Glasgow is a decent-looking five tackle out of Michigan. Jaron Jones, of course, is interesting out of Notre Dame. Charles Walker, we have good knowledge of him. He's kind of got a story he's going to have to work out as far as quitting on his team. I'm not really sure. Elliot, I'll let you pick first. I don't really know what I want to do here.
I mean, I had two guys that, excuse me, the two guys that jumped out to me were Ewan Price out of Pitt. I know he's undersized, but again, at this point, I really like his potential as someone as a rotational edge rusher. Again, we don't have a whole lot there in ways of that. And another one is Ted. You take defensive linemen every year. It's literally happened every year since we've been here. And the first one there is Ryan Glasgow. This is a weird conference we play in. The Atlanta Falcons want to spread us out and throw the ball all over the field. And then we play the Dallas Cowboys who want to line up and ram it down our throat. It's strange enough to the point where I can understand double dipping on pass rushers here and going with Price, but I can also understand if you wanted to take a defensive lineman like Glasgow and just kind of add him in as a plug and go run defender and hope that maybe Coach Turgovac can teach him a little bit in the way of pass rushing. Plus, I mean, you've seen kind of the way that the LaTroy Guyon situation's played out. I don't know what our plans are for him after the draft, but we may need to add somebody at that spot anyways. Glasgow's the top-rated guy there. So, I mean, I've got – if you want to take Glasgow or Price, I mean, you're the guy. I wouldn't have a qualm with either one of them.
So the way that this is going to play out is we've got Price 85th overall on our board and Glasgow 93rd. So what we're going to do is select Ewan Price – and hope that a handful of picks down the line here, Glasgow is still available. Dylan Cole goes immediately after our selection, followed by Zamora, Cannon, and Hollins. So the three wide receivers we considered are gone. And there we go.
Looks like get him. Yeah, we can get him. There you go. Good job, Ted. Took our guys. We can have our cake and eat it too.
Boy, just looking back at the draft with Tre'Davious White, Tim Williams, Dan Feeney, Brian Hill, not so much Ejon Price Ewan Price and Glasgow too. They're just solid guys. None of them, the upside isn't going to be crazy on any of these guys. They're all just going to step in and be solid guys and almost immediate contributors. I mean, Ewan Price has made a living terrorizing quarterbacks in the over there in the East Coast, and Ryan Glasgow has been just a solid rotational guy at Michigan for a while. Just all solid guys, nothing flashy or exciting, or I doubt it'll get many A-plus grades. It's just a solid overall draft with guys that can step in and pretty early and then help out. So overall, I don't think anyone can honestly say, well, I hated the draft or anything like that, but there's no 4-3 guys, no 6'5" pass rusher, extraordinaires, just a solid draft overall.
Elliot, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't complain. I mean, we got our corners, ball corner. We got a corner there to kind of groom. We don't have to rush him onto the field. Obviously, with him being a first-round pick, we'd like him to contribute. But if, Devon and Demarius and Quentin are both, or all three are what we thought they were a year ago, then Tre'Davious can return punts and kind of be groomed into – Dom's defense is hard to learn. We know that. Tim Williams, I like him being added. You know, we have that, you know, we know that Clay and Nick Perry are going to be the primary edge rushers, but you need those secondary rushers. Tim Williams steps right in there with Jay Elliott, who we're going to get. Damn it, we're going to get him 600 snaps this season or something along that number. You know, and he'll push Kyler Fackrell for some of those snaps too. We'll see if we got anything with him either. Ewan Price, same thing with Kyler Fackrell. We'll push him there. So we got some guys to push each other in that group, and we kind of need to rebuild that spot with Julius and Dayton taking off. Dan Feeney should be a plug-and-play guy at right guard. So that way you have some depth there now with Don Barclay and Kyle Murphy.
That Brian might be Hill, a pick of the draft, huh? Elliot, that might be value with need. That just that screams to me the best pick. What you,
and that's a guy who I thought would have been picked in the second round. Like, I was shocked when he was still there at pick 93.
I agree.
So, I mean, plug and play there. We've got some interior depth now that we didn't really have going in. Brian Hill's there. He adds to our running back stable with Ty and Christian Michael and Don Jackson's there, obviously. And then, like I mentioned, in the fifth round, that was great. We had two guys we were deciding between. We couldn't pick one or the other. We were kind of debating between the two, I should say, and we ended up getting both of them. You know, I couldn't be more pleased. I think it turned out really well. All things. I mean, obviously, we didn't get Myles Garrett, but that's what happens when you're a good team. You don't get guys like Myles Garrett. You have to find those guys at the bottom of the draft. I really like Tre'Davious White. He was our number two corner. We got our number two corner, so no complaints whatsoever.
I agree. I'm very pleased with this draft. I think special teams wise, we really did well. Brian Hill is going to be able to contribute. I think Ewan Price is going to be an absolute menace on special teams, and Tim Williams, he's going to have to contribute as well. Just because he's a second-round pick certainly doesn't mean that he's not going to be on specials. I think we improved our special teams unit. And I think without reaching for really anyone, we were able to successfully fill our team needs with guys that are ready to go. And that was the point. That's why we were a little bit more aggressive in free agency this year. Our quarterback, who is going to the Hall of Fame the first year that he is eligible, wanted us to be all in. This is an all-in style draft. As Cody mentioned, maybe not the biggest upside in the world, but I believe at least four of these players are going to eventually start for us. I really like the Glasgow value in round five. That's a guy I think eventually going to be part of the run defense. Glasgow with Dean Lowry and Kenny Clark, that is a young and skilled defensive line for those rare times when we are in the base defense. And I just think that what we did here with these six selections is going to put the team in a good position to win next year. All right, listeners, I hope you enjoyed our six selection, five round mock, your look inside the war room. Just so everyone's up to date, one last time, that went Tre'Davious White, Tim Williams, Dan Feeney, Brian Hill, Ewan Price, and Ryan Glasgow. Jacob and Cody, I want to thank you guys. This has been a lot of fun. It was an off-season podcast. We were able to crank out our number of shows without a lot of missed weeks. We were able to come up, I think, with some fun ideas and provide some entertainment to our listeners, and I appreciate both of you for being a part of this. Finally, one last time, I want to desperately plug the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. You guys, this is without question newsstand quality, and not only is it newsstand quality, but you don't have to go to the gas station or the grocery store to get it. You can download the PDF for $8.99, and it is specifically geared towards you, the Packer fan. You wouldn't be here on the Packers Radio Network, or excuse me, the Packers Talk Network, looking to this podcast if you were not interested in A, the draft, and B, the Green Bay Packers. So this thing, I promise you, is built just for you. Check it out. $8.99 on CheeseheadTV.com. That's where you can find my work. You can find Jacob's work on FanRag, and you can find Cody's work specifically about the draft on CheeseheadTV.com as well. thank you guys one last time, and go Pack, go.